This is The Women of Letters, a podcast dedicated to the TV show Supernatural and everything fandom.
Welcome to this week's Women of Letters podcast, a very special Women of Letters podcast because Amy and I are actually in the same room together looking at each other right now. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Jules. From across the table.
So normally we Skype because we live in different cities in Australia, which are like, you know, thousands and thousands of kilometres apart. But Amy's in town this weekend. We went to the Australian Movie and Comics Expo yesterday. Sorry, I'm getting confused with the name. It used to be Armageddon, but now it's changed for various reasons, which don't bear going into. And we were at the con yesterday, in particular to see Rachel Miner and Nikki Acox, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And we're also going to review episode 2 of season 11, Thor Man Void. Void. Sorry, very cheap special effects set. So, Amy, do you want to say a bit about overall about the day we had at AMC Expo?
It was great. We had a really fun day. We went to Rachel and Nikki's panel in the morning, which was the first panel of the day, actually, and I had a reasonable turnout. I'd say 99.9% Supernatural fans in that room. But the questions were across the board. So there were a lot of Supernatural questions, obviously, about them both playing Meg and different aspects of that. And then, but there were also a lot of questions about the other shows that they've both been on, which we found out they pretty much have all been, both been on the same show.
Yes, there was a funny theme running through about them being either on the same show at different times or at different shows, and so there was a running gag about them stalking each other. Hilariously, we found out because Rachel Miner had done a movie with Christian Kane, and turned out Nikki Acox went to college with Christian Kane.
But she would not tell us any of Christian Kane's college stories, much to our disappointment, because we were like, tell us, oh, my God. Because he wouldn't want you to know any of the college stories.
I can only imagine, and I probably don't want to even imagine. So they were great together. They obviously get on very well together and have sort of become friends. And they were really very thoughtful, I thought. So questions about, those sort of questions about, what actor inspires you or that. They actually talk more generally about both the acting process, but people who inspire them in their lives at different times. So, and they worked very well together. It was very balanced in terms of them handing the questions and that back and forward and contributing. And I thought there were some really lengthy answers too.
There were some really good questions, really solid, interesting questions and great answers. And also a lot of back and forth and collaboration with the audience when they weren't sure of the answer to something, or they had a, in their mind, they thought something about Meg, or they'd all often throw it back going, but she was like, did we ever find out? And so like, well, we really know that this is like the only place that we can kind of get those answers. You guys know all this stuff. So there was a little bit of that going on.
Yeah,
as well,
there were discussion of mythology and demon powers and what demons are. And I have to stop myself from yelling out every 5 minutes, we've got a page about it on the wiki, which I don't do because that would be really annoying. I just do it on the inside. And they did talk about many other shows that they'd been on, Sons of Anarchy. I didn't get to ask. I did want to ask Nikki about, because she was both on an episode of The X-Files and the first X-Files movie. Right, so I would have liked to have asked her. You actually asked Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I asked Rachel about Sons of Anarchy and her horrible death scene in that. And so she talked a little bit about that. But you also had another great question.
Oh, I had a great question. And because there's a really – so they have like a host, I suppose.
Moderator.
I don't think the word moderate has anything to do with him. And he used to work with Armageddon. I don't know what his name is, but he's a real douchebag, people. He's like, thinks he's doing vaudeville, and he's, you know, dad jokes doesn't even cover the depth of badness. And rather than just being there to, you know, it's good to have someone to keep the energy up, to keep things flowing and everything, but he's just fucking annoying. Anyway. I mean,
seriously, that wasn't a problem. There was plenty of questions.
Yeah, plenty of questions and good energy in that. So he should have just shut up. Anyway, I didn't get to ask my question, which was, there's one other person who's played Meg, which is Jared Padalecki, and what did they think of his performance? So, fortunately, I didn't get to ask that. So, if anyone else is in the panel,
mainly because Douchebag was asking questions all the time
stupid questions.
It's like, shut up. This is not about you. This is about the fans.
The people who've actually paid money.
Yeah, shut up.
But, look, I was really pleased. You often don't know when you've got two people from a show who haven't been on the show for a while. It's outside the context of a Supernatural convention. As well, where they're sort of supported by everyone else around them. In a multi-con convention like this, you know, you never know how many people are going to turn up and what sort of questions are going to ask, but they were really great. And I think everyone was sort of disappointed when the hour was over because there was absolutely no lull and everything was on a roll. We didn't even get to ask Nikki about her music.
A lot of
other things. So I was really pleased. And it was a great start to the day. And
they had a really good banter.
They were really
fun and kind of kept turning to each other going, "Are you kidding?" discovering things about each other, you know, through the questions, which was really fun to see. And you could see they just had a really good fun sort of friendship growing
there. Yeah, and there was stuff I didn't know. I didn't know that Nikki had worked with Kim Manners before either of them worked on Supernatural, and that was her connection and how she ended up on the show. So I hadn't known her about that.
Or that when she first met Jensen, she thought he was a really handsome grip because he was wearing plaid. And she was like, "Oh, I just thought he was one of the grips." And Rachel was like, "Do you think he was like a model?" And she goes, "Well, sure, I thought he was a very handsome grip."
Which was because she'd gone in before she started filming, so it wasn't obvious
who he was.
And Rachel talked about, you know, about Meg's death and that she was really, really happy in the end of sort of her redemptive arc, and that, you know, she had to go out. That was a really good – she felt it gave the – character, a Jew. So, yeah, no, look, it was really great. I was really – I had been excited to see them, and it turned out to be, a really, really great panel.
It really was.
And, yes, we had photos with them. I have to
But mine's never seen the light of day, ever.
Look, Amy and I are people who are happy to have our photos taken. Mm-hmm. We're not one of those, we can't stand seeing photos of ourselves. We're both happy. But they're so tiny.
So tiny.
Honestly, it was like having photos taken next to pixies.
Seriously. And, I mean, I don't know how tall you are, Jules. What are you, about 5'5"?
Yeah.
I'm 5'7", so I reckon I was a good foot tall. Felt like a giant. Like, these are the smallest human beings ever made. I look like Hagrid or something.
Well, Amy and I had just had done a selfie with an inflatable Jabba the Hutt, and that's what I was like. Whoa, 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 whoa. I have my two slave girl Megs here. But they were very sweet and very lovely. And I wish, look, I was, they did, there was a VIP thing you could do, which was lunch with them for $300 or something, which neither of us had done. But I was thinking afterwards, I think that would have actually been really good because they were such lovely people and such really interesting people. Like they came across as people that I'd like to have a good chat with.
Yeah, really seem like really nice ladies.
So that was really all we did for the con, really, other than shopping.
Yeah, we did, which Amy won at.
Amy won at shopping. I should say it was really quiet, the con.
Which was kind of awesome for us.
It was good for the shopping part. So the floor for all the merch was not packed. It was very pleasant to wander around. And the con really didn't have any really, really, really big names there. So, I mean, there were some well-known guests, but not the sort that would attract crowds. And we have just had Oz Comic Con
down there, and they actually did have some big names.
Yeah, so not in Melbourne, but in Brisbane.
Brisbane,
And in Australia, we're used to travelling for our cons.
Yeah.
So I think people had blown. And I think there's, is it Supernova in Adelaide coming up?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes.
There's I mean, there's a lot of them because we have Supernova, Oz Comic Con, and this movie in formerly known as.
Not a lot in terms of what people in America and other parts of the world might have, but we've got a lot more now. And and because we normally, a lot of people will have to travel to another city. I think that's why there weren't as many people there. But look, it was we had a good day bought some swag. I bought a bobble-headed Scully, and Amy bought some gorgeous little nesting Star Wars dolls.
I know, they all sit inside each other. They're very cool.
And a Potter wand.
I did. I now have Harry's wand. Oh,
that's what she said.
Dirty. Stop.
And then we went off to see Crimson Peak, which you should all go and see because it was very, very luscious and dark. And
we all want to wear extremely extravagant 90s and dressing gowns. We feel very schleppy.
Yes. And anyway, it was a lovely catching up with Fangirl Day. We caught up with fangirls for dinner. And anyway, it was very much fun.
Very nice.
And, you know, I only paid $30 for my ticket for the con. So
yeah,
that's always good. A relief.
That's always nice.
But on now to this week's Supernatural.
Woo-hoo, which we actually watched together on Friday night.
We did. Form and Void. I'm going to keep doing that. It's probably really annoying if you're listening to it.
You should see it. Normally I don't get to see Jules doing this.
No, Amy and I do audio only Skype because often we're in various states of undress and distress. And, yes, it's different to be face-to-face. But so this was really a two-parter picking up from last week's season premiere, Out of the Darkness into the Fire. So we pick up this week with we knew Sam had been infected by whatever it was that had been brought on by the darkness. Dean was off with Jenna dropping her and baby Amara off, and Cass had just been kidnapped.
Yes, been kidnapped by douche angels.
Angels are really dicks, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very bad. I mean, psoriasis angel particularly was hideous.
And just while we're on psoriasis angel, I'll let people know, yes, there has been an angel in the past called Ephraim. I know a number of people were going, oh, I'm sure I remember that name. Different character, spelt differently, apparently. And the other character, also called Ephraim, also killed by Cass. But, yes, very confusing and another little annoyance we have on the wiki when they call characters by the same name and different spelling. So, yes, psoriasis angel had been on before. But back to our main storyline, all I have to say about the episode really is Sam fucking Winchester.
Sam fucking MacGyver Winchester.
I know. Ironically, of course, because Jared Padalecki shot a pilot for Young MacGyver.
Yeah, so. There you go. That must be how he knew how to make that zombie cattle prod.
Oh,
and
seriously?
This bucket speaker, which I'm totally trying, by the way. I'm like, does bucket speaker really work? I'm going to have to try that.
It does actually. I can't do it at the moment because we're actually recording on my phone. But if you put your phone even in a glass, it amplifies it.
I was very impressed with bucket speaker.
You could probably actually buy a set of speakers for the price of buying a steel bucket. And it's probably a little less mobile.
He needed to go to a different shop down the road for that, though, and he didn't have much time. So,
I think in Sam's case it was an entirely valid choice. Your case, perhaps not so much, walking around with a bucket.
In my car.
In your car. Or travelling with a bucket so you can play your iPod in a hotel room.
Yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah. But he was incredibly cool with going in. I really enjoyed that scene, not seeing him, just seeing his hand grabbing all the random stuff and then seeing that he came up with this really bizarre cattle prod thing, electric prod. It was very clever. His pretty cool.
Well, we talked last week about competency kink, and it was full force with Sam, because not only did he do that and capture the guy and sort of start doing a trial on what might work to cure people of this, but then, even as his own condition worsened, he managed to, actually come up with what was going to cure it. And as I tweeted out, I was the idiot who would have actually poured holy oil on my skin and set it on fire rather than the controlled sort of marshmallow burn thing that he did, which was very sensible.
It was very sensible. I must admit, I probably would have done the same thing, because as soon as he opened that holy oil, I was like, oh, is he going to pop it on himself? What's it going to happen? And then when he was like, it had the marshmallow gauze going, I was like, the hair, Sam, move the hair.
Take the shirt off, Sam.
Yes.
I mean, take the shirt off.
That's just a weekly chance.
I know, but particularly so when you have fire. I'm like, there's the hair and the flannel. This is not a good combination.
I was so worried about the hair, though. I was so glad to see him, like, flip it out of the way, because I was like, oh, shit, we don't want the hair going up like on the, on Mish's, like, behind the scenes. No.
It would have been nice if you had to go scrunchie out and put it up in a man bun.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Note to the set people, do that next time. Sam. We've seen Jared
scrunchie on his wrist.
Yes. We've seen Jared with the man bun. I reckon Sam would go a man bun.
Not just when he's laughing.
No, I think definitely we should have Sam man bun. Let's start a hashtag Sam man bun.
Can you imagine Dean? What Dean would say if Sam came out with a man bun. I might have to write that.
I will continue to say that I think Dean's hair very on fleck this season.
Dean, very.
Even though he's still wearing the murder shirt not murdering people.
And he must be fully Odie Dean now.
Woo!
He's had that on for days.
Yeah, like, and
the black T-shirt underneath, because he, like, assaulted a hotel room wearing that black T-shirt.
Yeah, I was
killed some people.
Thinking, surely they have maybe a spare T-shirt in the trunk.
Just hasn't had time, Jules. He's been being cured of the mark.
And Jenna had time to touch up her mascara.
Her eye makeup was
very Her cool. eye makeup was on fleck, I tell you.
But if you're going to be driving in a car with Dean Winchester, you probably would take just a couple minutes to fix yourself up. Make yourself look the best. If you feel
even though her grandmother said she looked like shit.
Oh, no, I was like, what?
It's like, I'd like to look like shit like that. Anyway, back to the story, though. So we start off with the scene that was the sneak peek for the episode, which was Dean dropping Jenna off. And I found a really melancholy scene in a way, because it did touch on that thing of Dean and family, and of course at the moment the whole you're really good with the baby is a double-edged comment, because yes, we all know Dean's good with kids, but also it happens to be sort of bonded to this one. And just there's that look he gives at the end as she walks off into her grandmother's house, and I thought that was just, and it was good, because it then I think that scene resonated then later on when Sam's praying and saying, I want Dean to have a nice life, and it was giving you that could be what it looked like for Dean, and we know he's been there and hasn't worked before, but it was just that
you get the sense
that it's always going to be a sadness for him that he hasn't had that.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if he never pursues it again, that's something he knows that he can't have that he would have liked. Yeah. So,
and then he pulls us all out of it when he says that the bar's pretty low for him and Sam. Oh, I know.
You're going to be okay, aren't you? The bar's pretty low.
I was like, oh, my God, you're just killing me, Winchester. Yeah. I just keep walking off that direction with those legs of yours and it'll all be fine. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Dean's legs don't give him much comfort.
Give me a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I'm pretty sure Dean's not going, well, the world's ending, but at least I'm hot.
I've got the best legs ever. I look awesome in my jeans.
And then we've got Cass, poor Cass.
Oh, gosh, he's had a really rough start to season 11.
God.
Poor bastard.
Can it get any worse? Well, yes. Oh, yeah, of course. That's why it's supernatural. But I thought that was played real. I mean, aside from these being the absolute
worst.
About the well, they're, you know, they're really up there. We have seen a lot of really horrible angels. So, again, the bar's pretty low there for being
truth.
And then we have the play that Hannah makes that Hannah's on Cass's side when Hannah isn't on Cass's side, and they're really trying to find out where the Winchesters are and what's going on with the darkness. And, again, I love the actor who played Hannah. Totally. And I was actually thinking, gee, it'd be great if, you know, this character is around and we can, because I thought worked really well with Cass, and I thought, oh, it'd be great to see, oh, he's dead.
Same with me and Jenna. I'd already had plans in my head for Jenna to join Jodie and Donna and be like the, you know, the female supernatural cop squad.
She's,
you know,
not, she's not joining Wayward Daughters anytime dead. Soon.
Soulless and dead.
So we found out a couple of interesting things about heaven. So there is some form of democracy going on. So it's not that Hannah's been running heaven. There is some form of consensus decision making, can we say, going on. And, you know, I suppose the point is, from their point of view, Cass was involved in releasing Metatron. So not that they should go around torturing people, because that's all.
And they're
angels.
Probably already slightly pissed with him through everything else.
Well, like, yes, the whole Godsteel thing.
He's not their favourite angel.
No, so I torture being bad aside, I can understand why Castiel's, you know, definitely persona non grata, and maybe, you know, they should have captured him and put, well, from their point of view, captured him and put him in jail. And from
put him in jail.
And
dude.
From their point of view also, he does keep, as we know, choosing the Winchesters over everyone else.
Story of my life.
So I think in some ways you can see where they're coming from. Of course, though, they shouldn't be torturing.
No, they should not be. And it was sad to know that, even though Hannah wasn't on board with the torture stuff, it was sad to know that she was on board with the trickery.
Yes.
When Cass sort of figured out that she was playing him, I was like, oh, sadness. But you guys were so cute together.
And I would have, again, it leaves us without a familiar character in heaven. Mm. So she was the only one who we had a connection with. So we now don't know anyone in heaven, which is probably means opens it up for anything. And other than Metatron, who's in the wind, obviously, we don't.
Graceless. Didn't they take his grace?
No.
Did he get it back? Oh. Cass stole it in that little bottle when Sam shot him in the
leg. Oh, that's right. Yes. Sorry.
Sam shot him in the leg. That was so awesome. Oof. Still the grace bang.
Yes.
That was very hot. Shouldn't be that hot. Watching someone shoot someone should not be hot, but it was hot, sorry. This is what this show has done to me. I was like, wow, that's hot. Oh, I'm disturbed by my thinking that.
So, yes, who knows where Metatron is, but I suspect he will.
He's got the demon tablet?
Yes.
Is it the demon tablet?
Yes. So I'm sure he will pop up again because he's positive. A cockroach like that. But it was horrible seeing Cass being tortured, although I'm sure many people find it very hot as well.
Really? It looked painful.
Interestingly, someone a lot more knowledgeable than me noted on the wiki that the knife fight between the angels and Cass was an homage, or appeared to be an homage, to the famous switchblade fight from Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean. Sorry, I'm just pausing to see if the hellhound's going to shut up.
What would be a Women of Letters podcast without a squeaky toy or a dog barking?
So, yeah, if you go, there's a link on the wiki and you can see the scene in Rebel Without a Cause, which is really similar to the choreography of the fight in this episode, and it was filmed at Griffith Observatory. Yep, so have a look at that. Mm. I love it when people pick up stuff.
Mm, yeah, I would never pick that. I know that scene quite well. So
very
I will
clever.
Very clever. And then, of course, they also tried to get into Cass's brain with the angel brain stabbing tool. I don't know what that's called. That's its name now. Mental brain stabbing tool.
Yes. I'm not sure if we have it. We'll have to come up with a name because I'm sure we need an entry on the wiki about that. But, yes, no, that didn't work. And Cass, I mean, of course, Cass is still affected by the attack dog spell.
Yes, so he's
which turned out to be of use in this situation.
Super of use.
But doesn't bode well for his future. And, of course, we have Dean returning after the wonderful Ghostbusters line and that gorgeous – there was some gorgeous driving
really
scenes.
Really lovely. I just really like that Dean was also had a snack in the car as he's heading back to Zam. He'd stopped at a drive-thru or something and was having a snack. I just really liked that. There was something in that that I was like – it felt very Dean, you know, after having
it's a nice
not
attention
had Dean
to detail
for such a long time, you know, like not Dean feeling himself for such a long time. This really felt like Dean.
Yeah, and answering the phone going Ghostbusters.
Yeah, being sassy. And that turnaround was beautiful. I mean, in the pissing rain, just the slam on the brake and the whoop, Yui.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was really cool.
And then, of course, he does get back to Jenna's grandmother's house only to find...
Father Crowley.
Oh, dear. Father Crowley. And an interesting bit of backstory we get about Crowley and exorcisms and demons, which was, I thought, a lovely little bit of lore to,
really interesting.
To chuck in there. But, of course... and then remembering, of course, that Dean and Crowley haven't seen each other for a while and that, you know, they've... There's the whole, do you know what Sam and Cass have been doing and then the darkness. And one thing we do find out from this episode is really no one has a clue about the darkness.
No.
No one knows what the darkness is or anything about it. There's no like, oh, we need to go and look up such and such. There's just this,
everybody's at a loss.
It's big and scary.
Yeah, we all have all heard of it, but we don't really know what it is. Yeah, it's just like a myth.
Yes.
Come to life.
Yes. And the other great bit of lore we got was when Sam meets Billy the Reaper as she's collecting the souls in the hospital and the fact that she says that, you know, she could throw him into the empty.
Yeah, so then what's it? There's some void.
Yeah, well, yes.
And that got some speculation on my blog on my website talking about whether that was like a bit of a nugget towards what they might end up having to do with the darkness, tossing it into the empty, you know, to contain it. In my brain I'm getting flashes of that prison that they have in Superman, you know, the Earth vs. Superman movie where they put the bad guys in that triangle thing flipping off into space.
Yes, it's sort of outside space and time.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, that was very interesting as well. But the whole Dean and Father Crowley was really rather delicious. Their post breakup banter is very funny. I mean, it always was funny, and now it's kind of tinged with a little bit too much familiarity, maybe a tiny bit of embarrassment.
And
just like every breakup.
Yes, and Crowley obviously not playing ball at all.
He's pissed anymore.
I love the revelation that Amara eats souls.
Yes. How creepy was the baby?
Oh, very creepy. Great acting there, baby, or babies. I believe there were triplets playing that baby.
Baby did good.
Great VFX with the floating blocks above the crib.
And firing into the walls with enough power to embed halfway. Feed me. Gross and creepy.
And, of course, lost Jenna, which, you know.
Boo.
Okay.
Sam Winchester was far more controlled when he was soulless than Jenna was.
Well, it's interesting because we've seen soulless people a number of times now.
Yeah. The other soulless people were pretty mean.
Yes. So it's interesting the different ways it can manifest. Mm. And I wonder whether it's to do with the fact that Sam has experience at killing and restraining himself in that way. So, like, whereas air quotes normal people, all their pent up rage at not being able to kill people comes out.
Sam's done a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to think about, you know, how it manifests differently and whether there could be people who lose their soul and not want to kill people.
Mm.
Maybe serial killers lose their soul and don't want to kill anymore.
Maybe
they don't have souls to start
with. They don't.
Who knows?
But, yes, that was sad, though.
It was. She would have been She was nice.
Yeah, she was nice. And she was pretty. I liked
her. And Crowley killed her, which, you know, I think was a point. The point of it, too, was to reinforce Crowley's evil. So we're back on to the, you know, he's an antagonist, he's evil, he's, as he said, not your bloody sidekick.
But I also think that there was something there that she was about to kill Dean, and if he really didn't care about that, he would have let that happen. Of course, that's not going to happen because it's Dean and this is supernatural, so they had to find a reason. But when he's like, I'm bored, I was bored, it was kind of like, well, one, he was showing how much he doesn't give a shit about anybody anymore, but two, I think he was also showing how much he still...
And he didn't kill Dean.
He flicked Dean into the cupboard.
Yeah,
and,
but didn't kill
him. Yeah, and Dean didn't kill Crowley.
No, very true. He stabbed him in the hand.
Stabbed him, and with the knife, and it's like Crowley's like, oh, shit, no, I don't know if that knife would kill Crowley.
Angel Blades killed Dean.
Oh, I think we've done that. Well, but he had the demon knife as well.
Ruby Stephen knife too.
But that didn't kill Abaddon. The demon.
Yeah, but she was a knight of hell. But we also know Crowley's really, really powerful. Really, really powerful. So.
Once we saw his eyeballs turn red and smoke. Smoking eyeballs.
But it is interesting. I mean, I hold to the fact that the boys probably, look, push comes to shove. I think now they'd kill Crowley, but I think there's probably still something in their mind in terms of better than the devil, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out during and their relationship plays out during the season, particularly if he's more openly an antagonist to them.
I love that. I'm really glad that he's put it straight out there, I am not your bloody sidekick, you know, and I love that because he kind of has been for a little while. Mm. And, you know, both Sam and Dean have both – Dean has said him straight up, you know, my mum said I'm going soft. Well, she ain't wrong. And when Dean said it to Sam, well, she really kind of has. So they obviously are thinking that he'd started softened. So it's nice to see him showing them, no, that's but not who I am anymore.
It'll be interesting. So there's two things in play, I think, though, that may make them need to work together. One is dealing with the darkness.
Who's going to become way more powerful than I think Crowley has any idea of.
And the other, of course, is Rowena. So there may be call for them to need to at least be, you know, the enemies of my enemies are my friends sort of
frenemies.
Yeah. So I think there may be pragmatic reasons why they need to work together at some point, or at least not kill each other. Then again, of course, as I said, we don't know with Heaven. We don't know anyone who's still active in Heaven, any angels that are likely allies at this point. I mean, and you know, Cass obviously being estranged from Heaven, there are no angels we know of that could be mates. So I'll be interested to see if we get another angel character, you know, that we get to meet and gets to be a bit of a recurring character, because I think that's a bit of a hole, because obviously Heaven's going to be needing to deal with the darkness.
Yeah.
And now that role may be taken by Metatron to some degree, but yeah, I'd be thinking we might meet a new angel
who maybe
comes to the forefront in Heaven,
because I do wonder what Cass's role is going to be, because I know that he's going to be involved with the Winchesters, you know, like fight with the darkness, but you know, he's not going to be with them every week living in the bunker driving around in the car, so one would assume that's not going to happen. And I've always sort of gone, I mean, apart from the fact he can't fly, he's still a really powerful angel.
Well, I suppose, I mean, look, he's still got to get over the whole attack dog thing.
Yeah, he does.
So that's I'm wondering, what they're going to do about that, whether he needs to go off to a Fortress of Solitude for a while until they find Rowena or whoever to fix that. Or maybe they'll fix that sooner rather than later. But they, you know, maybe
might be traces of it or something.
Or he will just, you know, then be off, you know, alternate weeks or whatever, his own, trying to find stuff. You know,
Metatron or something.
Yeah, like and that. Of course he's possibly got access to archaic information. You know, in Heaven's archives, if you can get into those, darkness is.
There must be something up there.
Or, of course, maybe he's got a role in talking to Michael and Lucifer in the cage.
And what did you think of Sammy's flashbacks?
Oh, I loved it.
Me too.
I loved it because it tied into the whole idea of that Ruby brought up in season 3 when Dean said something about, you know, when they were talking about Hell, and he said he'd seen Hellraiser, and she goes, yeah, they pretty much got it right except for the custom leatherware. So that whole being pulled apart by chains and that, which we saw with Dean, but it's very, very Hellraiser and very great. So, yeah, whether what that means, so the whole praying to God for a sign.
Yeah. Was it coming from God or was
who knows?
Coming from below.
Well, one may think the voices were of, it could have been from Lucifer.
There was also the voice, the voices that he heard in his head as well. I was just trying to find it because someone said that he actually said the line, he said a line that Sam said when he was three Sams in the episode where he was split across three. One of the lines that he heard in his head was one of those lines that Sam said to Sam, in that. And so, you know, where was that coming from? Is that just like a memory or... Yeah, that was really interesting as well.
Yeah, so it's unclear. And, of course, he was affected by the darkness at this point. So, yeah. Or whatever it was.
He was obviously having, like, trippy sort of
experience. But still able to get online and look up shit. I liked that. His Google foo was not
biblically
affected.
Purify himself.
But, yeah, I think, I mean, that really opened that door then for, you know, so we've got what may happen with Sam around this, whatever it is, wherever that voice was coming from, whatever those flashbacks meant, there was something that obviously will be ongoing there. Yeah. We've got Dean obviously having this tie to Amara.
Yeah. And that was a bit of a revelation that we'd talked about, is whether the darkness was actually existing when he saw her or whether she was in his mind.
Yes.
So, you know, even he was sort of saying, I don't know, maybe she was a vision or something like that because she was suddenly a baby and we'd seen her as the grown-up Amara, which I assume that's who she's going to become once she's eaten enough souls.
Yes. And then, of course, with Cass, we've got him dealing with his own situation of the attack dog spell. But then I think the broader situation of how both his relationship with Heaven and what role he's going to play then in the darkness. Crowley, of course, has got the issue of whatever's going on with the cage and then his role in relationship to the darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have no idea what Ruthie's up to. What Rowena's up to. Sorry.
It was me last week. I kept calling Sam Jared for some reason.
So we don't know where she is. I think she's back this week. So we will get an idea of what she's up to. So there's a few players, and I like the fact that they've all got different approaches or different relationships to the dark. Like none of them know what the darkness is or what it wants. You know, Crowley reckons, so I've got something that eats souls. That seems awesome.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what it is what she is or what and there's no indication that, you know, she's got a desire to be aligned with him. So I've got a bit of a feeling that might bite Crowley on the ass.
I think she was just pretty excited just to have a meal. Really, yeah. In the back of his van. I think that was like, ooh, okay. You know, not like, oh, good, this guy's going to feed me. That'll be
candy,
good.
Little girl. Yeah,
oh, that was creepy ass. How creepy was that?
I think my favourite parts of the episode, I thought Sam's prayer was really moving.
Was very moving. And, I mean, I guess in that moment he probably thought he was never going to see his brother again. He probably thought there's a pretty good chance that I'm not going to make it out of this black, veiny, virusy thing.
Sure.
You know? And so he's asking for help but also asking for help for his brother because that's probably, you know, may not ever see Dean again.
And interestingly, I thought given that they'd killed Death recently and, you know, and he'd just seen the Reaper to know that, you know, if he dies this time, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you know, last time they're in trouble or, you know, approaching Death, it was Death who turns, you know.
That's right.
Both Dean and Sam had turned to Death for help. Yeah. So interesting. Now Sam goes back to calling on God for help.
Yeah,
so do you think God will have some presence this season?
No, I don't know. Like, how would they? I still don't know how they'd represent him. Do they represent him as Chuck? You know, like, I don't know. I really don't know. I think not having God make a an appearance is almost more interesting than having him make an appearance. So it's kind of this elusive thing now that we don't know if he's even involved at all.
Yes.
He might be, he might not be. You know,
the ultimate
things happen that you're not really sure. Was that God's hand or was it not? You know, was it something else? So I think that's kind of more interesting.
I think the ambiguity and sort of elusiveness is, and obviously then once you have God around, on a permanent basis, then that totally changes the sort of heaven-hell balance and things.
I think it's more interesting to not know if he's out there having any kind of influence or input into the situations at hand.
But, you know, over the years there have been things that have happened that were presumably God-related with various people, and, you know, particularly Cass being brought back a number of times, which appeared to be God-related. So there could be things happen that even without God making, as you said, an explicit appearance. But, you know, I think it's very unclear at the moment whether, you know, the signs and the whatever Sam's hearing or imagining, where that's coming from.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know where that's coming from. But and I really did like Billy the Reaper telling Sam that all bets were off now, that you know, those boys can die. I thought that was, you know, she sort of came in as a little bit of exposition, I think, to say the boys could die. There is this empty and, you know, you're biblically
impure.
That's right, which helped Sam to figure out how to biblical purification is holy oil.
Unclean, sorry.
Unclean, that's right, unclean, which was such a thing, you know.
For Sam, too.
The boy with the demon blood, the vessel of Lucifer, you know, to say that must have just
But it was
been,
also oh. it was also a nice, again, I thought that a lot of the mythology was advanced in a way that really elegantly in this and that.
Yeah.
And she was a good way of showing us that even though death is
gone,
present, the reapers are continuing their work.
It just rolls on still.
So that was good. I thought that we're not going to be sitting around thinking what's happening to people.
Is it going to be like that episode of Torchwood? Is it going to be like Miracle Day when no one dies? But I really liked her. But I found that really confronting when she said that the boys could die now.
Yeah.
You know, that's it, man. You know, you go down next time you do it, you die. And I was like, okay, that's one thing you have to tell Dean, Sam. Don't tell him about the vice if you don't want all your weird hell visions and voices, but you better tell him that. He needs to know about Billy and that.
Yes.
But, that was really cool. And it was the episode looked great. It sounded great. The music choice was,
it was
really
great. Jay Grusker did the music, and there was, aside from the usual motifs and the very usually sort of guitar-based stuff, there was some sort of
I was going to say really ratcheted up, especially because it came in towards the end of the episode and as you were saying to me, the way that the scenes kind of overlapped with the
from sort of in the last half or third of the season episode. If you notice, the sound from one scene starts before the visuals have edited over. So you'll hear Crowley's voice while they're still on Sam or whatever. And that sort of it made you realise all these things are taking place at once, but also, amped up the tension. It was very clever. I really liked
really
that.
It really did. It really amped up the tension. It was it made those scenes, which actually, when you watch it, they actually become shorter and shorter and shorter.
Yeah,
like each of those scenes becomes
more compact
as you keep going back to them. It's each time you see Cassis for a short amount of time, then you go back to Dean for a short amount of time. So it became quite, you know, poppy from one scene to the next. But having that audio start and linger and then that music really gave that flow and, as you said, made you completely conscious that these things that were all happening were happening within the same time.
And there
space.
Was a common thing I saw a lot of people say how tense they found it.
Yeah, I was really tense.
I think all those elements came together with the writing because you didn't know how each of those things was going to play out. And then, of course, you have, and I love the shot where you see the silhouettes of the boys coming down the stairs in the bunker. You've got the pyramid of books that were about to be burnt by the Steins with the interestingly, the mop and bucket, which we know that from the deleted scenes on the DVD, there was a scene of Sam cleaning up all the blood, which didn't end up in the final episode. And then, of course, Cass appearing Not being well.
Not well at all. And the boys, as soon as they hear, they're like, jokey, joke, joke. As soon as they hear something, boom,
guns out.
Guns out, you know. And they're so in sync. And I love seeing that. I know, me too. I love that.
All of them do stuff together.
I love it, you know. And this last episode, the premiere episode and this episode, the times that you saw them together, they were like so together. And that was something that I was saying, because I know people don't like it when the brothers are apart, you know, physically apart. And they like them to be fighting together and in the scenes together. But when they're apart like this, I actually don't notice they're absent from each other's physicality because they are so connected anyway. Yeah. I mean, Dean's ringing to talk about Rosemary's baby, you know, with Sam and sort of going, oh, it's like The Exorcist, right? You know, like that's what I said. And there's no emotional barriers.
They're not
between
estranged
them.
They're not in estranged. Any way. They're still fighting together. Exactly. They're just doing it on different fronts.
Exactly. And I think you feel that through
it. Oh, yeah. And I love it.
So they feel like they're together anyway.
And I love it because I think it almost increases that when you make the effort to make contact with someone when you're not together, that's sort of a more powerful sign of your connection than doing it when you're standing next to each other.
Exactly.
And plus, I like it because then you get to imagine all the conversations they have about what happened. You know, and the fact that they did end up, you know, they obviously met up and ended up back at the bunker.
Yeah, it's like, I'll come and get you from, sounds like, hey, it all went really well in Zombieland. Look how awesome I look.
Hey,
is that a bit of a burn on your neck, Sammy? What happened there?
Yeah, and, hey, Dean, I invented a new iPod speaker. What's that bucket, Sammy? Quick, call Apple. This is our retirement fund. All the hunters are going to have them now. I expect to see a bucket on the back seat of the Impala. It's a new sound system. We're obviously going to see a lot more of Amara, who's now a beautifully evil child personification. One of my huge kinks is evil children, especially evil girls. So I'm loving that. And the young actress who is actually on Twitter was talking about how much she enjoyed filming it, how wonderful Mark Shepherd was to work with, and being directed by Jensen in next week's episode. So there'll be a link on the wiki. You can follow her on Twitter. She's a lovely young actor, and I thought did that really great job of looking incredibly angelically sweet and evil at
and
the same time.
Smile. Yeah. that whole scene was just like, oosh. Very, very creepy.
So a lot of rich mythology stuff to go through this season, I think, and I think certainly off to a fantastic start.
It's a cracker of a start. I mean, I love this episode. I just, at the end of it, I was like, oh, Christ, that was just so powerful. I had like a pillow in my chest and I was squeezing this pillow and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so stressed. I feel so stressed right now. And I know you know that last year's Rackenbach was like one of my favourite episodes of the season, and which was also the second episode, also Andrew Dabb. Yes. So I think this one will be up there with it because it was just, it really, in every way, the writing was super funny and, you know, everybody had really cool lines. I mean, even when the rabid zombie man going with, what's your name, bite me.
Yeah, okay,
bite me.
I want something I can hold in my hands and he has
and pudding. And even his face was like, what, I don't know. Really?
Okay. Whatever.
It was just some really, really juicy lines. Yeah. And Crowley got to deliver the vast majority of a scrumptious choir.
Oh, now we had to, I wanted to have a discussion because at one point Dean talks about, you know, we're not the Scooby Gang, Velma, and Crowley says, I always thought it was more than Daphne. So, of course, in true fan tradition, Amy and I have had a long and intense discussion about why Crowley would see himself as Daphne rather than Velma, because in the show, Daphne's a bit hopeless. She's clumsy and she's often the one damsel in distress. She's often having to be rescued and everything. However, she is probably conventionally the hotter of the two, whereas Velma's the snarky, shorter, snarky one, but she's also very brainy. She's got all the smarts.
Or what about if Dean's Fred and that's why Crowley sees himself?
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah, yeah. Because Dean would be Fred for sure.
Oh, definitely. Sam has to be Shaggy, I suppose.
Oh, jeez.
Or Scooby.
I think Scooby's smarter than Shaggy. With the puffy eyes.
Yes.
So maybe that was it. Maybe he was seeing Dean as his Fred. Daphne to Dean's Fred.
That's true. That could be the point of it. So we'll have to see if there are other Scooby-Doo references throughout this season.
Oh, I was happy for a Scooby-Doo reference.
Well, we did end up with Crowley with a van.
That's true.
But it wasn't appropriately painted. But if he gets a bit of mural happening.
A bit of a mystery machine.
That could be the mystery machine. So maybe by the end of the season we will have a Scooby gang. Yeah. Which, of course, for those who don't know, was also the nickname Buffy had.
Yeah.
Or I think it was Willow came up with it originally, but that Scooby. Was the Scooby gang was the name for Buffy and her cohorts, which I'm sure is where Dean got it from, as well as from watching Scooby-Doo, but I'm sure he was a Buffy fan as well.
Yeah, I bet he watched Scooby-Doo.
Okay, I think that is all we have to say. We're off to see the David Bowie exhibition.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So we're getting our groove on. Thank you for listening, and I am pretty sure we'll be back next week with the bad seed because this season is just kicking it out of the park.
Next week it's Action Ackles.
Action Ackles behind the clapperboard or whatever. Yes. So be interested to see what he does.
Yes, always nice to see what Action Ackles does. Stop. Across the board.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Women of Letters podcast. If you'd like to contact us, our email is wolspn@gmail.com. You can follow Amy on Twitter @AmyInSydney and Jules @SuperWiki.